Right, level ground. Good morning again. It's always good to be able to worship with you all and to come before God's throne and see all of you sing songs of praise. But we've come to hear a word from the Lord on today. Amen. Amen. That when God speaks, we believe that things happen. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about missions and how God's called us to be on mission for him. And the first week, Brother JT came and talked about us being on mission. The following week, we had two couples that are missionaries that shared with us, the Morgans and the Roberts, and they did a great job in talking about what God's doing in their area of the world. Pastor Dwayne came last week and talked about missions, and today, we're going to talk about it one last time. As a title for today, I just want to use three little words that hopefully we'll all remember as we leave this place today. Jesus said, go. Not your pastors, not the seminary, not anyone you may have heard in the past, but Jesus gave this command to his followers. He told them to go. You know, getting ready for this sermon, I told the group yesterday while we was praying, the last couple of weeks, God's been reshaping and revamping this sermon. And I felt like this week he really put the solidifying marks on it. And I was looking at famous last words from people that died. You look at famous last words, and I was expecting to find profound last words in everyone that they mentioned. Yes, Jonathan, I'm glad you're laughing. Because some of the last words that they had were totally asinine. People's last words before they died, some one famous person said, I want a hamburger. And then he died. And another person said, where's the sunlight? And then he died. And someone else said, I think it was cucumber. And then he died. And so, again, I'm trying to be profound and be, you know, studious and like, let me find out what these famous last words from all of these people are. And the majority of the last words that I found from people that passed away, famous people, made no sense at all. Except when Jesus spoke his last words. Because you think about the last moments he had with his followers and trying to impart wisdom into them and really wanting to leave a message with them. And the last words, whenever you go to the book of Acts, you'll see where he told them, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But in the Gospels, you'll see different renditions of sayings that he said at the end of the Gospel or on his way to leave them. And one of those last things that he said was he told them to go. He told them to go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus said that in his very last moments. Listen, he spoke that to his disciples back then, but he's speaking to us today as well. That he's telling us to go and make disciples of all nations. Listen, whatever particular field you find yourself in or wherever you are in life, whatever occupation you have, this is not me telling you to give up on that occupation. This is what I am telling you. Wherever you find yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus is calling for you to represent him in that place. And in the process, hopefully, you'll make disciples for Christ. That as a doctor, you can make disciples for Christ. As a teacher, you can make disciples for Christ. As you run a nonprofit, you can make disciples for Christ. As we find ourselves in the community, working with different parts of the different organizations in the community, we can make disciples for Christ. Because a lot of times, people think that making disciples is just for the pastors. For the leaders, you know, Jesus did it and he had his group of followers under him. And so they're the ones who's called to make disciples. But in actuality, anybody who is washed by the blood of Jesus and been saved by his grace, God calls for us to tell other people about what has happened to us. And in the process, hopefully, they'll do the same thing. And then you see the kingdom of God multiplying and exponentially growing as we're making disciples for Christ. But it's not just going to happen. is not just going to happen just because we come into the church or because we find ourselves in the house of God, and maybe God will use us in a great way, or maybe God will make disciples if we just come to church on Sunday. Pastor Dwayne said it last week. We know the power of God, and we know what he's called us to do. But do we really believe he's going to do it if we open our mouths and tell them about it? Do we really believe that he's going to move in a mighty way and actually use us to make disciples? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because all of us, whether you want to admit it or not, all of us are called to be on mission for God wherever we find ourselves. And so all of us are called to be missionaries. We'll say, no, Pastor Taylor, that's for the group that was on here on week two. As for people that are possibly looking to go to IMB, there are people at the seminary that are called to be missionaries. But all of us are called to be missionaries, even if we never go to another part of the world. Maybe we find ourselves here in New Orleans the rest of our life, or in our hometown the rest of our life. God has left us here to make an impact for his kingdom. And we're not just here to be happy being saved on our own. We should want to see other people saved, and we should want to see other people enjoying the benefits of being a disciple of Christ. And so today, as we look at this particular passage of scripture, with Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Go. Our scripture today is coming from Matthew 28. We'll have it up here. In your pew Bibles, you can find it as well. This is at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. For those that are online, if you need a Bible, please get with us and let us know. Those of you that are here, if you would like a Bible, please get with myself or Pastor Dwayne, and we can get you a Bible so you could have a written copy of the Word of God. This is Jesus talking here to his disciples. Little Bible trivia while you turn there. It says, then the 11 disciples. I thought there were 12. So it said, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. So a little Bible study before we get into our sermon. Where's the 12th disciple? Who's the 12th disciple that's not with the group right now? Judas. Thank you, Brother Tony. Judas is the one who defected, or he went away and he wasn't with them. And so Judas is not with them, but the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Who's talking right here? Who's saying this? This is Jesus talking to his disciples, giving them the Great Commission. And again, a part of the last words that Jesus would say before he left from this earth and went up to glory to be with his Father. He's going to speak to us today prayerfully through this sermon. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. God, the fact that we can study your word and, God, draw encouragement from it is something that we thank you for and we praise you for. Again, God, move me out of the way. I pray that these words will be straight from you, and God, that we will use this message to glorify you and to witness to our brothers and sisters that we may come across in the next few days or weeks or months or years to tell them the best news they will ever hear, and that you died and that you're there to save them. So God, we thank you for this worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Jesus is talking to his disciples right here, and he's telling them that this is when him preparing to leave. And the ironic thing, whenever you look at this, and I want us to put ourselves in the place of these disciples, that Jesus is going to this mountain with his disciples. And go to that next slide, Pastor Dwayne. First question I want you to ask yourself is this: what are you doubting today? Where do you get doubt from, Pastor Taylor? It says, when the disciples saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Here's the issue I have with that. After all they had seen him do before, they're doubting. After all of the miracles they saw him do before, they're doubting. After what he told them would happen before, and now it's happened, and he's standing in front of them, they're doubting. And you say, oh, that's just the disciples, because if it was me, I would have been praising God, and there would have been no doubt in my mind, and Jesus is here, and everything's going to be all right. But when you really think about it in your own life, aren't there things that God said he was going to do in your life, and still we doubt? Or maybe there are things that God has done for you in the past and pulled you out of scenarios or out of situations, and now you find yourself in 2023. Let me not put you guys out there. Now I find myself in 2023, and there are things that the enemy brings into my head that makes me start doubting whether the future is going to be okay, whether this is going to work out all right, whether my career is going to be what I want it to be, whether I'm going to be able to provide for my family. And doubt keeps coming into our heads, and we forgot that the same God that's taking care of you today took care of you way back then. These disciples, the Bible says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them, they doubted. And listen, Jesus told them earlier in the gospel, he said, listen, look, y'all, I know y'all are happy, but I'm going to Jerusalem. Did he go to Jerusalem? He said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be turned over to the authorities in Jerusalem. Was he turned over to the authorities in Jerusalem? They saw he went to Jerusalem, turned over to the authorities. Jesus said, and then I'm going to die. And they saw that he died. And then he said, then I'm going to rise on the third day. And now he's standing before them, and they're saying, like, yes, we see you, that you risen on the third day. So everything you said in the past has come to pass. Everything you said is now, we understand. Stand it now, but we still doubt. Myself, whenever I was growing up, I loved going fishing. My new wife will tell you that often at home, I will put on fishing videos on YouTube and not even watch the fishing videos. I just want to hear when they hook the big fish. Then I look to see what the fish looks like. Then I go back to work or whatever. I used to love fishing. And my dad would say, we're going fishing on Saturday. He would tell me on Monday. And so on Tuesday, I was doubting. And on Wednesday, I was doubting. And Thursday and Friday, every day, we going fishing Saturday, right? Dad, you say we going fishing Saturday, to the point where my dad would say, if you ask me, what Anthonyka? If you ask me one more time, and he'd go to pull his belt off, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm not going to ask. I was doubting whether what my father said would come to pass, and I didn't really believe him until we actually got to the fishing pond, and I threw my line in the water, and I said, I believe now. We fishing now. Everything's okay. These disciples, even whenever they see Jesus standing before them, they're still doubting, and so that tells me this. Doubt is okay in your life. That if there are times whenever doubt comes into your life and initially the enemy brings attacks your way and you doubt whether God's going to work things out, that's okay initially. I'll say this also. It's not okay for us to constantly live in a state of doubt when we know the power of God and what he can do. We're going through the Screwtape letters on Wednesday, and we talk about all of these ways that the enemy attacks and all the ways that Satan brings ideas into our head, or he uses other people to bring doubt into our lives or to cause us to question God or make us wonder whether this Christianity thing is what it's all cracked up to be. And that's the enemy's job. And if you didn't know it, the devil is good at his job. That he's good at bringing doubt into our lives or bringing areas of doubt. And if the disciples, listen, if these 11 disciples that walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and lived with him for the 3 years where he was ministering on the earth, if they can doubt, then it's telling me that it's okay for me to doubt as well, but I can't stay in that doubt. And the only way that they got out of that situation where they weren't doubting anymore is when you go to the book of Acts, it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so these same disciples that were doubting and the same ones that were scared and timid and found themselves wondering what was going to happen to them, when you go to the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit actually falls on them, you find these same disciples going out and doing great things for God in the midst of losing their life or losing their finances or being threatened by the authorities. And that tells me this: if I rely on this same Holy Spirit that the apostles had back then, I'm going to be okay today. Because the same Holy Spirit that they had in the book of Acts, do you know that that's the same Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us today? And it's not like the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament where he'd come down and sometimes he'd fall on King Saul and then he'd lift and he'd go to someone else and the Holy Spirit would fall on them and come. No, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us all of the time. So when doubt comes in our life, whenever there are things that's causing us to doubt, all we have to do is fall back on the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means that this God, this Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me is going to help me get through whatever area that I'm doubting in my life. Now, if I went through every person in this room, I'm sure all of us can identify an area where you're doubting, like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Or I don't know what's going on with this situation, or I don't know why I'm in this situation right now. And in the midst of all that, hear me tell you this, that's the time you need to go to God and ask him, give me more of you, God, so I can get through this season of doubt. These apostles found themselves worshiping, but also doubting. And Jesus is there, listen, as JT prayed, as a good father to comfort them and to make them feel okay, even though they were doubting. Can you imagine how aggravated you would be? Listen, as a parent, as my dad was, every time I asked him, are we going fishing? Are we going fishing? Do you need me to get the rods and the reels out? You want me to get the ice chest? You want me to go get the bait? You want me to get some? And I'd see his countenance on his face change as I would keep bothering him because I didn't believe what was going to happen and what he said was going to happen. God is sitting up in heaven telling you this, everything's going to be all right. Stop doubting. Stop being of so little faith and believe that what I promised you is going to happen. As we go out on mission with God and to do what he's called us to do, first question is, what are you doubting today? Second question I want you to ask yourself, because this is something that people throw out there and they think that, oh, it's just something that we should know how to do. How do we make these disciples that Jesus is talking about? Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is Jesus talking to them at this point. And listen, what he's telling them right here, it's not a suggestion. He didn't tell them, you guys saw me die, right? And I rose from the dead. So I'm about to go be with the Lord, and y'all go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And if you feel like it, go out and make disciples. No, when you look at the background and this particular passage in the original, it's talking about Jesus telling them with the exclamation point, go and make disciples. This is the command that I'm giving you. This is the marching orders I'm giving to him. Listen, this is what the man in authority is telling you to do. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So think about it like a general in the army or somebody of high command giving soldiers orders. He don't tell them, well, if you feel like it, go into this territory and take it over or occupy this land or go on this mission, but only if you feel like it. If you don't feel like doing it today, then go ahead, stay in your bed or stay comfortable, or you don't have to go out and do it. No, Jesus is telling them, go. And I think too many times, again, we take this passage, I'm putting myself in that category as well, and it's kind of, it's if I feel like it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But, you know, if I'm having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or, God forbid, a bad year, then maybe I won't pour into anybody and I won't really try to make disciples of anybody that I come across. And that's totally disobeying what God has told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. And you say, how do we make disciples? When you think about it, it really is simple and complex at the same time. Jesus told his followers, those 12, to follow him. And basically all they did was follow him, watch him, live with him, and spend time with him. And that made disciples for the glory of God. Go to the next slide. You look in the book of Acts and they said this, the people of God, after Jesus had left, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Bible, and to fellowship, coming together for worship, breaking of bread, actually spending time eating with each other, that also included communion and praying together. That through these four things, this is what they used to make disciples and future believers and to get people saved. And the other words, whenever you look throughout here, that really highlights this whole discipleship making process is this: they did it together. You say that those annoying pastors at Level Ground keep telling us to do things together. They keep saying that we shouldn't live life on our own, that we shouldn't, that Sunday should not be the only time where you connect with somebody throughout the week, that there should be a circle of people or a group of people who you're doing life with and you're doing it together and you're encouraging each other. Maybe you're getting together to read the Bible or fellowshipping together or having a meal together or praying together. But this whole process of making disciples happens as we come together and as we seek God's will. And this is for, listen, this is for new believers. And this is for also people who have been in the game for a minute who have never been discipled. That just need somebody to come alongside them and meet them every other day or meet them once a week or join in together with them to do an activity throughout the week. And in making disciples with each other in our circle, we can go out and minister to others and make more disciples and encourage them to make even more disciples so that, again, we're on mission, telling people about who Jesus is, seeing the kingdom of God grow. And Pastor Dwayne said it, our world is a better place when more people are saved. That if there are more people who are following God and getting in his word and fellowshipping together, breaking bread, praying together, then there's going to be less people that are going to be breaking into your car or breaking into your home. Or maybe y'all didn't see that that's happening in New Orleans and all over the world. That when you look on the TV, every time you turn it on, it's like, oh, somebody else got robbed. Oh, somebody else got killed. Oh, something else is going on in this part of, not the world, of our city. And if we win New Orleans and New Orleans is full of people that love Jesus and we spread out and then our country loves Jesus and it spreads out even more, then our world will love Jesus. Our world will be a better place. People say, Pastor Taylor, that's not possible. There's no way that you could get everybody saved. Well, we can try. Well, we can actually intentionally go out and expect to see everybody that we talk to come to the kingdom of God and come from a life where they may have been involved in killing people in the past or hurting people in the past or corrupt politicians or people that have mistreated other people, and see those people saved for the glory of God and see them winning people and them being on mission for God. But if we're not passionate about it, It's something that I always have to check myself about, because I always stop and ask myself, Brother JT, am I more excited about working out than I am about getting in the Word of God? Am I more excited about riding my bike for 2 hours than actually sitting down and reading the Bible for 30 minutes or meeting with one of my brothers and sisters and talking about Jesus Christ or meeting up with someone that's suffering and offering a word of encouragement? No, I can't do that. I got to go and work out because I got to keep the temple looking good. That's me. I have to check myself, but all of us should check ourselves, because if the top of our priority list is not glorifying God in what he's called us to do, then that's a problem. What are you saying, Pastor Taylor? Do I give up going to medical school, or do I give up going to graduate school, Brian, or do I give up being a teacher, Aaron? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that where we find ourselves, we should be glorifying God in that place where we find ourselves. So when people look at Jonathan and when people hear from Jonathan and the way that Jonathan lives his life should show people like there's something different about this brother. There's something different about the way he handles situations. There's something different about Brian, the way that he handles things at school and at work and with his family. And he handles things differently than I do. So I want to connect with him so I can find out what it is about him that makes him so calm or makes him able to go through situations that I usually fall apart with. What is it that you have? And that's when we could tell him about this Jesus that has come into our life. And at that point, we're making disciples. It's not a difficult process to where they have to know the Bible in and out in the first week whenever you start meeting with them. Maybe it's when you start meeting with them, you're just praying and maybe memorizing a few scriptures or maybe it's just talking about what you're going through in life and sharing about how God got you through your situation and how he will get you through your situation if you trust him. But God has called all of us to make disciples for him. And this back to number one, this doubt that we have where they're looking at Jesus and they're wondering like, what's about to happen now? Because he said, think about where the disciples were. He said he was going to die. He died. He said he's going to rise from the dead. He rose from the dead. And now this joker then came back and he's walking through walls. And he has this body to where that we don't know when he's going to show up and he just pops up out of nowhere and they're doubting. They're like, oh, what's the next thing that's going to happen? And this doubt became real when he told them, I'm about to go. I'm about to leave. But when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what's going to give you power to do. Think about this. This Holy Spirit that's coming is going to give you power to do much more than I can do while I was on earth. Jesus looked at his disciples at one point and he said, greater things you're going to do because I'm going to the Father. And I would sit there and I would say, 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, fed these thousands of people. That's what he did. And now he's telling me, I'm going to do the same thing. Listen, doubt. Doubt comes in. We're on this boat, and this man, I called him a joker early, huh? I shouldn't have called Jesus a joker. I'm sorry, Lord. This man, the God man, got out of the boat and walked on the water and didn't sink, and then spoke to the waves of the sea and said, peace be still, and the sea became calm. And he's telling me greater things I'm going to do? Doubt comes in your head. And whenever doubt comes into your head, that's when you fall back on the fact that the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, this Holy Spirit that after 3 days, I have my medical professionals in here, so I'm about to pull on them. They didn't think they'd get called on today. After 3 days, somebody comes back to life. We have a class in medical school, anatomy and physiology, and we have these cadavers. Some people are looking like, they're like, stop talking about it already. their bodies, as after people die, they donate their bodies to medicine, and they're laying on the table whenever you walk in. And some of my classmates, I didn't even tell you this, Jonathan, some of my classmates my first year dropped out of medical school when we walked into the anatomy lab because, yeah, the cadaver, no. This is Gabby, Vivian. They're like, no. We can't do this. It would be like walking into that anatomy lab and seeing that cadaver pop up off the table and being like, what's up? What's going on, y'all? I was dead for a little while, but the Holy Spirit came on in me and raised me from the dead. I think all of us would run out of the anatomy lab because, listen, dead people don't come back to life. And this Jesus who was beat, who was put on a cross, put in a tomb, dead for 3 days, Holy Spirit raised him up, and now he's standing before his disciples talking about what they're going to do. They had to be standing there like, this, what's going on? What in the world is going on? But that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and listen, that came down from heaven, lives in all of us as believers. And so when Jesus says that, go out and make disciples, go out and do it, go out and tell people about who I am and what I've done in your life, he's saying this, I'm with you and I'm giving you the power to do it. If you didn't hear Pastor Dwayne's sermon last week, go listen to it. I'm with you no matter where you go. As a matter of fact, go ahead to the last slide because I'm jumping ahead. You got to remember, Jesus told him at the end, I'm with you. Maybe they had doubts. Then he told them to make disciples, and they're thinking like, okay, you've made disciples out of all of us. But then at the end, Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And right after he said that, he left. You're with us to the very end of the age, and now you're gone? And he said, but I'm leaving. But I'm going to send somebody in my place whenever I leave. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And after Matthew 28, you go to the book of Acts and you see the Holy Spirit coming down. And when Paul and Silas found themselves in the prison and they sang praises to God, eventually the other prisoners heard about it and the people that were holding them heard about it. God was with them while they were in prison. Listen, they were able to rejoice while they were in a prison because they knew that God was with them. And Pastor Dwayne shared it last week. You did talk about Peter last week, right? See, my messages running into each other. Peter found himself in jail, and the angel of the Lord found him there and brought him out and brought him to the house where the people there doubted, knocking on the door, and they're doubting. Like, I think that's Peter. That sounds like him, but I don't know if that's him. In the prison, Peter found himself with the Lord, and the apostles found that the Lord was with them. All throughout the Bible, you find these scenarios where people couldn't do something, couldn't accomplish something, but in the end, they were able to get through it and do great things because God was with them. Because God's presence was with them. And with God's presence, you have to understand, wherever you find yourself in life, if God's presence is with you, that means God's protection is with you. What if I go out and my life is threatened, Pastor Taylor? I'm not even saying that there might not be a threat to your life, but if God's presence is with you, then he will protect you in that scenario. What I'm about to say, some people don't want to hear, but maybe I'm going to go to heaven. maybe God put me in a situation where I might lose my life. Do you guys know that missionaries in all parts of the world, God's presence is with them, but sometimes they lose their life, and God's protection for them is, okay, you lost your life down here, but come on up here and be with me, God, saying, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna protect you so nothing's gonna happen to you at all, ever. See, I got no amens to that. Everybody like, wait, I don't want that promise, Pastor Taylor. Nope, keep that one. It's the fact that God's going to protect us no matter where we find ourselves. It may not look like we think it should look. It may not feel the way we want it to feel it. It may be uncomfortable, but God's presence means protection. God's presence means that his power is going to be with us. Listen, this is the one I like. God's presence means I'm going to have peace no matter what situation I'm in. So when I find myself in a situation, Ms. Sharon, and I don't know why I'm in this situation and I'm in this place and I don't know why I'm in this place, there's a peace that I could have in the midst of this craziness that's going on around me because of God's presence. Not because I'm so strong, not because I'm so intellectual, not because I'm so good. No, it's called the supernatural presence of the God that's with me and gives me peace. Look, the Bible says this, that passeth all understanding. That's the peace that we need to have, that no matter what the enemy sends our way, or no matter what doubt comes our way, no matter if things don't turn out the way that I think that they're going to turn out, I'm going to have peace because God is with me. And so he's telling the disciples right here, he's telling them, surely I am with you to the end of the age. Not just right now, but forever I'm going to be with you. And he's saying that to them, but he's also saying it to us on today. That he's with us. Listen, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, and JT's been saying my word the last 2 days. Keep praying, keep saying refuge, refuge, refuge. I'm like, get out of my sermon, JT. Yesterday while you were praying, you said refuge about 4 times. I said, get out of my sermon, JT. But it's leading up to the fact that this God who promised them in Matthew that he would be with them to the end of the age. He says it in Psalm 46. He says this, God is a, and this isn't David writing this psalm. This is actually the sons of Korah. They were a tribe in Israel, and they were musicians, and they wrote this. They say, God is our refuge and strength. I like the King James Version. It says, a very present help in the time of trouble. Does it say need in the time of need, in the time of trouble? Whatever it says, it's saying this, God is our refuge no matter where we find ourselves. And so the sons of Korah says this, therefore we will not fear. Don't you know that sometimes you have to say that in the midst of fearing? That you're going into a situation where you're scared and you got to talk to yourself and say, I won't fear. I'm putting myself on the spot a lot today, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again about one of my workout experiences. When I jumped into the water at the Ironman and I saw people drowning all around me and my shoulders started acting up from my accident earlier and fear gripped me at that point, this scripture came to my mind. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in my time of need, therefore I will not fear. And prayerfully, I got through it. Sometimes whatever situation you find yourself in, a bad doctor's report, a relationship breaking up, a bill that shows up, a test result that you weren't expecting, you gotta say this, I won't fear. Therefore, I won't fear. Though, look, the Bible says this, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, waters roar and foam, mountains quake, it's talking about earthquakes and all kind of catastrophe happening. It's saying this, there is a river. There's a river. You think about a river, a calm river, and the peace that comes with that river. That river makes, those streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Look, God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations uproar. Craziness going on, kingdoms fall, God lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The sons of Korah said this, God is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Go to the next slide. Come and see what the Lord has done. Desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. This is talking about God fighting against your enemies, if you didn't know. The enemies that the devil's sending your way, or the trials that are coming your way. The psalmist right here is saying that God's fighting against all of those people and those entities, because if you're on God's side, your enemy is God's enemy. And he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says this, be still and know that I am God. I have that plaque on my piano at home. I gave it to JT as well. I don't even know what was going on. Something was going on, and I gave him that a couple of years ago. Be still and know that it doesn't mean don't do anything. It's saying this, I trust you, Lord. I'm going to be still and let you work. God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As he's called us to go out on mission, as he's called us to go out into the mission field, as he's called us to go out, Jackie said it yesterday, as he's called us to go out into the harvest and actually expect to see something happen, the laborers going out into the harvest, God is saying, I'm with you. The harvest field of Holly Grove, the harvest field of New Orleans, the harvest field of our world need laborers to go out and to work those fields and expect to see an abundance of a return of, listen, more disciples for God. What do we want to see happen in our world? We don't want to see, I'm not even going to say that. We want to see more followers of Christ. We want to see more people saved. We want to see more people on mission for God. We want to go out, as Jesus said, and change our world for the better. We talked about it yesterday during our time of prayer, where our church is involved in many things and there are things going on. And while that's going on, we also talked about the fact that we want to see more. That we want to see more people saved. We want to see more lives changed. We want to see more people saved for the glory of God. We want to see total generations impacted through our church, and we're praying that God will speak and use us for that mission to happen. But again, this is something that involves all of us. So as you go to your job tomorrow, as you're with your family today, wherever you find yourself, the prayer, hopefully, that you pray today, and I want you guys to pray going into this week, is, God, how do you want me to minister to this person? How do you want me to talk to this person? How do you want to use me to encourage this person to give their life to you? And if you're not saved, the prayer to pray is, God, I want to be a part of your family. Those that are listening online, those that are going to listen to this sermon in the future, those that are saying, that sounds all good, Pastor Taylor, but I'm not sure I'm a part of this disciple-making process, being saved, being a child of God, because everybody's a child of God. Thank you, Miss Evelyn. Everybody was born, because that's something that you're going to hear in the world, like, God made everybody, so everybody's a child of God. So we really don't have to get saved, yes and no. This child of God that I'm talking about is those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that have put their trust in Jesus. Those that have realized, listen, that I realized one day, Pastor Taylor realized one day, I am a sinner. I need a savior. If I don't have a savior, then there's no way I can go to heaven one day. And by doing that, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And now I'm a child of God. And that's the message we need to tell people, that all of us can fall into this category and then find ourselves on mission for God. And then we can go. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to what? To go. But we can't go until we actually are a part of his family, until we're actually his children, and until we're actually disciples ourselves. And then we can make disciples for the glory of God. Listen, as a church, we're going to talk about this next week in our family meeting. We have opportunities that are coming up for us to participate in the community, but also just in our city, where we can go and tell people about Jesus and actually tell them about what he's done in our life. And I want you all to be prayerful about that, because again, as great as it is for us to come into these four walls on Sunday or on Wednesday to study the Word of God, I want to see us make an impact for God Monday through Sunday. After we leave from church, that as Anthonika goes to school and as she teaches at school, that people are going to be drawn to the Jesus on the inside of her, as Miss Frances is ministering to her, the people in her neighborhood, and to the ladies that she meets for fellowship, that they'll be drawn to this Jesus that's on the inside of her, as Mr. Tony finds himself in his community and talking to his neighbors and those that are around him. They will see something about Mr. Tony that'll make them want to accept this Jesus. And listen, whenever they see that, we're on mission for God. Whenever they see how we live our lives, and we don't have to beat them over the head with our Bible. We don't have to rebuke them with everything they do, but just show love to them and encourage them and tell them about the goodness of God and just how good God has been in our lives. That will make them want to come to God prayerfully. Amen. God's calling us to be on mission. Jesus said, go. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for today. God, you're so gracious to give us the opportunity to participate in your mission of winning this world back to yourself. God, we just pray that you will give us the boldness to do it. God, that you will give us the tenacity, the passion to want to see our loved ones, God, not only saved here, but in the process, secured for all of eternity, so that we can spend all of eternity worshiping you and spending time together. God, put us on mission for you. God, help us to understand what you want us to do. God, not to just survive, but to thrive in this world. in this life that you have given to us. God, I thank you for our church. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to hear your word, to laugh together, to draw insight from what you have said. And God, please don't let this word fall on dry ground, God, fall on ground, thorns in it, God, that's going to choke out the word. God, let this word fall on fertile soil. God, thank you for the harvest that's going to come about. Thank you for souls that are going to be saved because of your word. God, we praise you on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen and amen.